Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God, our Father, our Lord, and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. You may be seated. In our gospel lesson today, those very familiar Beatitudes that our Lord Jesus Christ preached, our Lord preaches about the sweet things that will come because he has promised them to come at the end of all things. That we can and we should look forward to these things, and when our faith is tested, renew our hope by once again hearing these blessed promises of our Lord, of the virtues that he wants us to exhibit in this state of living: meekness, being poor in spirit, peacemaking, and so forth. And then, of course, the things of promise, the things of even reward, as he calls it, of being comforted, satisfied, being shown mercy, being sons of God, being a part of the kingdom of heaven. These virtues, of course, are hardly praised amongst men, but they are most blessed by our God in heaven, and so we, as children of God, seek to do them. That we are to trust in Christ, and we are to seek to be these things, and that then we are to trust that these things come by God's free grace and generosity towards us. Now, this is what the first lesson you heard from Revelation chapter 7. This is what it describes. The Apostle John's revelation or vision of heaven is a wonderful thing for us to hear. We get a picture of what heaven is like, and what eternal worship with God and the Lamb, that is Christ, what that is like. You see, far from some pagan vision of an afterlife of earthly-based fun, that doing the fun earthly hobbies and things that you do now just for eternity, here heaven is painted for us in words, God's words, with crowds of people gathered from all over the earth, from all tribes and peoples and nations and language and so forth, gathered together around Jesus, the Lamb of God, in an act of eternal worship of the God who saved them by the shedding of his own blood. You might pause for a second there. But right now, if I told you that heaven is an eternal church service, a worship of Jesus that never ends, how would you respond? Now, years ago, we thankfully said goodbye to that horrible notion that church ought to be 1 hour or less. But eternal worship? Yeah. You see, that part of you, inside of you, that kind of recoils or shudders at the thought, doesn't like to hear that right now, that part of you will be dead by then. The sinful flesh, which does not delight in God's word, does not delight in God's presence, does not delight in God's worship. The flesh hates the first three commandments, and of course it does the other seven as well. But here is an opportunity, once again, for you to do some spiritual exercise, to increase in your self-control and discipline within your soul. That baptism has drowned your flesh, your sinful nature, those countless folks from everywhere and from all times and people and so forth, wearing those white robes made so by the blood of Jesus, they are in heaven without their sinful nature. And that makes all the difference. So this text is bidding you, encouraging you in your new nature, the one created by God himself through baptism, the one that trusts in God, the one who delights in his word. But this is encouraging that new nature in Christ Jesus to step up to stand against the whining, whimpers, or even complaining screams of your flesh, even right now. That your flesh doesn't like heaven. Not the real heaven. But that's not much concern for you, however. Because your flesh, that is your sinful nature, the corruption, will not be going with you to heaven. That at death, it is dead. And though your body and soul part ways for that time, that at the resurrection they'll be reunited fully and finally, but without any of that corruption that we're so accustomed to in this life. All Saints' Day is a great time to remember our faithful God who has taken our own members to himself, home in heaven. It's also a great time to remember the biblical teaching that even now, by faith in Jesus, our Lord, that you are to be counted as saints before his face as well. That there is not some strange process for becoming a saint, but know that right now, by believing in Jesus, you are righteous. You are holy ones before God. That just like the Mass is described in Revelation 7, this is because of Jesus' work for your sake. That the Lamb's blood has been shed for you. That you have been baptized into his death. That his blood has washed your priestly robes and made them white, made them pure by his own blood. That we hear of these palm branches being held in their hands as well, and we are reminded that palm branches are a sign of victory. That these palm branches are held and used in celebration and worship of our God because there is victory in Christ. Victory over sin, victory over death, victory over the grave, victory over the power of the devil, victory over all the evil plotting and planning of the world, and yes, victory over all that horrible work that the sinful nature does within you. That you, by faith in Jesus, already stand as ones who are saintly before God. And yet you still have that sinful nature, as evidenced by your reaction to the news that heaven is going to be an eternal worship service. That this creates for you then a time of tribulation, of affliction, of trial, and one of the most difficult places, a trial within you. That certainly living in this fallen world presents much trial and temptation as well. And the devil, of course, is more than happy to make you stumble and fall. But the fight is even going on inside of you. The great tribulation that you are now enduring is the very thing from outside of you and inside of you. It's because the devil hates God and he hates you. The world hates God, hates Christ, and hates you. And your sinful nature, that old Adam, the flesh hates you as well. This is why it is so disastrous to take any bit of their opinion, to listen to their advice, their counsel, even if they try to spruce it up and make it look like anything other than the soul-hating scorn of God that it actually is. If you knew your doctor was giving you advice and he openly wanted to harm your body, you would flee from him. And yet the devil, the world, and your own flesh want to harm more than just your body. And you ought to regard them as such. Now they hate you because they hate Christ. And they want heaven to be unappealing to you. They want those promises of God to seem so far off and dreamy that they're not real. But yet God loves you. And so he speaks to you in his word today. He calls you children. And by the power of his voice, his word, you are then his children. He paints this heavenly picture of pure white robes, no longer soiled by sin, no longer stained by the sins committed against you, no longer tattered in war. He then places these victorious palm branches in your hands that you would have that in there, that in that place of great victory. He pronounces blessing for every last trial and hardship you have to endure. He pronounces blessings for the things of this world, the things of this world and the flesh hate. Things like being poor in spirit, like mourning, or meekness, or hungering for righteousness, leading a pious life, being merciful. But now the gospel teaches about the world also. Jesus makes sure to note that the world will persecute and revile and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely because of their hatred of Jesus. But then Jesus adds a promise, which is also his direction for us when these things happen to us. Rejoice and be glad that when the world shows you its true colors, you are to rejoice and be glad. He says, for great is your reward in heaven. The great blessings found in heaven are indeed great. And you see that crowd of people you heard about in Revelation 7, that includes you. But yes, there is great tribulation. Suffering whatever the devil, the world, and the flesh throw at you as God permits. And yet standing firm where God has you in the faith. Of being poor in spirit, that is, wanting only Christ, only his righteousness, desiring to lead godly and pious lives in a godless and profane world. Being peacemakers in a world full of warmongers. Of showing mercy in the face of a world that demands justice. But these things are blessed states indeed, according to our Lord. And they have these promises attached to them. And the fulfillment of those promises you heard by that massive crowd gathered around Christ the Lamb in heaven. That they are eternal priests in holy robes with symbols of victory in their hands, serving before Christ the Lamb day and night in his temple. But there's no more struggle to be had. There's no more sense of defeat or losing. There's no more hunger or thirst for righteousness, for you have it. You'll have all the righteousness of God. There's no more enduring the heat of the day or persecutions that might come from within or without you. For God will have judged the nations. God will have paid back his enemies. Taken the vengeance that only he is allowed to take. That there will be no more sadness from sin or death or the effects of the devil, the world, or the sinful flesh upon you. But there is none of that with Christ. That the Lamb has washed you clean. That the Lamb, oddly, is also your shepherd. Takes you to the springs of living water at the place where he is worshipped and adored. That you are sheltered by God in his tabernacle, that is to say, you're one of the family with the home in the same place as our God. That this will be seen in heaven even as you have it now in your ears and by faith in Jesus. John and Robert, they were both saints the moment God gave them faith to believe in Jesus. And at that point, all of the righteousness of God became their own righteousness. That their priestly robes were washed and were made white. And they now rejoice with a joy that is inexpressible, with a joy that will never be taken from them, that they are indeed saints in heaven, just as they were saints on earth by faith in Jesus. But the promises of God were not just for them, but they are for you also this day. That the love of the Father has been given to you, that you should be called children of God, and so you are. And that you have a family much, much, much larger than the one you think you have. And it gathers in heaven around the Lamb of God who took away the sin of the world, the Lamb of God who has taken away your sin. And indeed, as heaven rejoices, we praise Jesus. For he has done all things well, and he will always do all things well. And that you are, by faith in him, saints, holy one, children of God. In the name of Jesus, amen. Please rise. The peace of God which surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.